Hi, this is John Barnes, and you're listening to Cop On.
In the beginning was the three-pointed star, one smile of light across the empty face, one bow of bone across the rooting air, the substance forked that marrowed the first sun, and burning ciphers on the round of space, heaven and hell mixed as they spun. Welcome to Cop On Podcast, you juicy and particularly vividly coloured pumpkin. Ryan is here from Hong Kong, Doug is here from Scotland, Nigel is here from Ireland. I'm Owen, I'm in France, and I've just become a dad for the very first time. So those opening lines from a poem called In the Beginning by Dylan Thomas are dedicated to my beautiful baby boy, Reuben. I wanted to call him Jürgen Mohammed, but unfortunately that idea was quashed. Speaking of quashing, Liverpool beat Leicester City 3-0 yesterday with two goals by a man who is enjoying his proper breakout spell in the first team, Curtis Jones, and one goal from another Scouser in the team, which means that you can take your poverty chanting, you can take your tragedy chanting, and you can shove them both right up your ass. Then you can, I don't know, take a firework and shove that up your ass too. Light the firework and see what happens. See where you end up, which planet you go on, because you're not welcome on this one. Idiots. So they got what they deserved, a 3-0 smashing. Brian, it's 11:20 at night in Hong Kong. You've had an entire day to digest this and night and Liverpool's resurgence, 7 wins in a row. Are you thrilled? Are you happy? Are you thinking next season we're going to topple those financial dope-a-dopes of Manchester City? You want to talk about anything you want. Curtis, Trent, go wherever you like.
Well, I'm really, really happy for Curtis because, you know, hands up, I was writing them off. I was saying that ship had sailed. And fair play to him. He's really putting the flag down and his performance has been excellent. And I'm just glad that we're back to having something to look forward to. We're part of it again, and the identity. And I'm looking forward to every game. And, you know, if any team could do the crazy things, it's us, right? So we were written off a month ago. People are laughing at us. You know, it's over. It's not over. And we're breathing right down their necks. And I'm, you know, worst case scenario, it's going to be the biggest party in Dublin the world has ever seen. So every, you know, all my mates are happy right now about where we're at now, you know, and it's great to get back into winning ways. So I'm just enjoying the football again.
Beautiful stuff. And yes, you're alluding to, the top four, the Champions League race. Doug is here from the Dugout Football Channel. Doug, welcome back. What percentage chance would you give Liverpool of now getting to that top four place? Because I did see a stat on Reddit, although it didn't have the source, which is a bit, you know, a bit frustrating because I don't know where it came from. But some website somewhere said that we have a 37% chance of getting top four. I would put it more in the like 5 to 10% chance, because I mean, even 10 would be optimistic, but we still have a chance. I don't know. How are you feeling, Doug?
Yeah, feeling good. Good win last night against a very poor Leicester City side. I think it has to be said they were very, very poor, and they look a team devoid of ideas, devoid of confidence, and that's a team of individuals there at Leicester, and I think they are now going to get relegated. I mean, it's quite amazing in the space of 18 months after them winning the FA Cup, they now sit, they find themselves in 19th place. But obviously, apart from obviously all the, you know, the chanting game yesterday, I would give us at least, I was thinking of this yesterday, I'm going to give us a 15% chance of getting in the top four. I think if you look at the way that, you know, Brian played against Arsenal on Sunday, that kind of gives me a little bit of confidence that they can go to Newcastle and maybe get something from that game. I wouldn't back Newcastle against Leicester. I've got to say, I wouldn't back Leicester, Newcastle anyway. So The Chelsea game is the one where I think we may look to and see where they could be. But this could easily come down to the final day. This could easily come down to the final day. But fantastic win yesterday. And I think Curtis Jones is in a new lease of life in that position where he's been playing. I've been saying it all along, he needs to add goals to his game. And I think with the goals he scores for England, sort of the similar goals that he scored yesterday were sort of the goals that he scores for, you know, England as well. So I am just hoping now that he can add more goals to his game, because I think if he does that, then he definitely has a future at Liverpool Football Club. And definitely looking ahead to next season, he can be a very important player for us.
I think so too. You know, with Bajcetic back, you know, you're talking about a remodeled midfield with Trent there as well. It's all very exciting. Two goals from Curtis and the goal. We'll look at the goals in a minute. But Nigel, how are you feeling about it? Or just, you know, in terms of the top four race, just to remind everybody, Newcastle, as Doug was saying, they've got to play Brighton at home. So Newcastle are at home. Then they're at home to Leicester City. And then they're away to Chelsea. Those are the last three Newcastle fixtures. Man United have three games left as well. They're away to Bournemouth, who beat us 1-0 at Bournemouth. If, you know, if your brains hadn't wiped that fact out of your minds. So United are away to Bournemouth and at home to Chelsea and then at home to Fulham. I don't know. I'm not that optimistic. But what I am optimistic about, what's more important to me, is this resurgence of confidence and this resurgence and the new identity that we were crying out for such a long time. Changes of formation. Nigel, you were going on about it for ages. Changes of formation. You must be enthused about it.
Oh, absolutely. The fact that we've got any chance at all of making top four is the change in formation. And Trent been moved. And Curtis Jones' sudden bounce, shall we call it, has been key, I think. It's taken pressure off our strikers. And we had this discussion there, I think, last week, that Cody Gakpo dropping off, and then it allows... We've got to remember, I'm going back now, this is going to be a completely different team just for a couple of minutes. I'm going to just... 1971, Arsenal had this 19-year-old striker who won a double with him in 1971. Liverpool bought him in 1974. And the great Bob Paisley turned him from a central striker into a left-sided midfield player who used to arrive late in the box. Then we had a couple of other guys. That was Ray Kennedy. We had a couple of other guys. Steven Gerrard used to arrive late in the box. Ronnie Whelan arrived late in the box. Look at Curtis Jones' first goal last night and the first goal he scored against Spurs. Arriving late at the back post into the box. Absolute resurgence for the lad. Delighted for him. We wanted more input from him. And he's been absolutely fabulous the last few games. So it can only be good for the club.
Yeah, very interesting point. Absolutely, yeah. Ray Kennedy, ghosty from the left. The finish as well, that first goal. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's cast your minds back. We won the ball back thanks to a really good offside line. And I think that our defending three clean sheets in a row now, that's also something worth mentioning. But it was a really good offside line, if you remember, that caught Jamie Vardy offside. It was about halfway into our half, basically, you know, halfway between our goal line and the halfway line. And it was a super offside. So we won the ball back. And then Alisson got it. He went long. Wout Faes, who in two matches has scored two goals and played a key moment in a goal for us. So he's like, shout out for player of the season. He hesitated. He let the ball bounce. Then Henderson managed to find Mo. Mo with his beautiful ball, allowing Curtis to finish first time. So similar to that goal he scored before, but it was a superb finish, Brian. It's the coolness. It's the calmness. It's that kind of thing that is really good. But also the Mo Salah, you know, the past three assists yesterday, he's actually moved up to, and let me get this fact correct. I've got the stats in front of me. He's equal 6th on our all-time assist makers. Well, sorry, not all-time, since 1969-70 season, because we forget the 1920 Invincibles, we don't know. But from LFChistory.net, he's equal 6th with 72 assists for, you know, in all competitions. Incredible, Brian. The pass, Mo Salah, the vision, and Curtis, as Nigel was saying, running in on the back post. It's looking good. It's looking good. How do you feel about that goal? Did you celebrate wildly, or were you just, I don't know?
Yeah, no, I did. I'm liking what I'm seeing. I think Mo has definitely, I mean, Mo's always been great. He's a machine, but he's having more of an effect on the game, I find, in the past five or six games. It's all around input to the team, not just as a out-and-out kind of goal-scoring threat. And that goal, and it's the second, I'm right, it's the second finish like that he's finished it off, first time in a couple of weeks. And you don't see those goals. I mean, I watch most of the games most weekends, you know, I definitely watch the highlights. And those balls over the top to the oncoming striker or a midfield player arriving late, you don't see them very often. And that's almost twice in a week now that he's done that. And I noticed, I think Trent is having an effect on the team, him being in the middle of the pitch, the creativity that it's like he's playing FIFA. You know, he just looks up and he goes, oh, I'll just through ball overhead. That ball's coming over time and time and again now. And I imagine it must be putting the absolute shits off defenses, knowing that we're not just going to pass it from left to right to left to middle, that at any moment we can just go straight over the top and there'll be runners. So, absolutely brilliant. And genuinely delighted for the lad as well. He's been great.
Absolutely, yeah, beautifully well said. He has been great, and it's just, I don't know, the coolness of it all. Lovely to have people with it in the chat here. We've got Gary Richards, Tally Ho, Gary, Mr. Boombastic says, Doug, that's quite the t-shirt. And for the audio listeners, Doug has an absolutely fabulous Minions t-shirt that's from heaven, you know, the WB Yeats, the cloths of heaven. That's what he was dreaming of. Absolutely. And Graham Rogers is here. He said, I had mixed feelings about the Leicester game. I so want Everton to go down. Not forever, just for 20 or 30 years. And yes, Graham, I totally get that as well. But if we end up in the Champions League, it will be worth it, surely. And Alan's in the chat as well. Great to have you with us. And Han of Scouse, hello. Good afternoon, or good early evening, or good night, or whatever, wherever you are. Whoever you are, wherever you are, everybody is welcome here. The second goal was a few minutes later, meaning that in 4 minutes against Leicester City, Curtis Jones scored more Premier League goals than Richarlison has all season in 4 minutes, which is always good fun, Doug. But that second goal, it started from a throw-in on the far side. Trent took the throw-in. We worked it back to Ibu Konate, who threaded a very clever, I love the rolled vertical passes that go about 15, 20 yards from defence through the gaps, giving it to forward towards Gakpo, who then, because he's so clever, his turn was absolutely beautiful. If you watch that goal back, in case you don't remember what I'm talking about, Konate passing to Gakpo, and he does this little turn, and suddenly, instead of Leicester having, you know, seven players behind the ball, they've suddenly got three. And, you know, three, maybe four. But he passes it quickly to Mo. So this is all happening in a flash, you know. Gakpo does his beautiful turn. He flees it quickly to Mo, who plays it first time to Curtis, whose touch and shot, for me, it was like Ian Rush. The speed of thought, Doug, the speed of movement, and the speed of touch. Three things we've been lacking all season. And with the verve of the youth of Curtis Jones and Gakpo, 22, 23 years old, this is very exciting. What do you reckon, Doug?
Yeah, very exciting. And, you know, that's a man in form at the moment, Curtis Jones. Like, Curtis Jones, for me, has been one of our best players recently, along with Trent as well. And I said a couple of months ago that Curtis Jones, when he wasn't obviously getting in the team, I said he was at a bit of a crossroads in his situation, because his progression has kind of stagnated. When you look at like players like Harvey Elliott, his progression's gone up ever so slightly. But Curtis Jones, for me, was excellent yesterday. I've got to say, Gakpo has really, really stepped up to now. I think a lot of people were stupidly writing him off after three games. And, you know, I think we look at Gakpo now, he's definitely going to be the He's definitely going to be the Firmino replacement almost for me. It's not just his touch, it's going at defenders as well. It's his pace as well, which is very, very good. And, you know, Curtis Jones, he's not a striker, but I tell you what, that was a striker's finish yesterday. Like, the way he took it from Salah, taken away from, obviously, Wout Bees, and obviously Johnny Evans, and it's a fantastic finish past Iverson. But I always had the feeling, if they conceded first, I always had a feeling that we would go on and get a couple more, because defensively, they haven't kept a clean sheet pre-World Cup. So that shows how bad Leicester have been this season, is they've not kept a clean sheet pre-World Cup. So
I think it's 22 matches without a clean sheet.
Yeah, 22 matches. And that's obviously, I think, going before, obviously, the World Cup started as well. So you can see where sort of Leicester's problems have been all season as well. But taking nothing away from the finish from Curtis Jones, and I keep saying it, if he can add goals to his game, he will be up there for, you know, assists and top scorers, etc. as well. The way he's been playing, and I think the way that he's been playing, and I think the way he has been integrated into a more sort of attacking sort of role that he has been on that left hand side, I think he's making his game a lot better.
Totally excellent stuff. Yeah, beautiful answer. You know, the second goal for Curtis in just a few minutes. Doug mentioned Cody Gakpo. I put him on the screen there. In the middle, but of course, the crowd were singing for 10 minutes nonstop this beautiful chant of Bobby Firmino in the second half. And, you know, you can see his smile, the emotional moment, because, you know, Saturday's going to be his last game at Anfield, or Sunday, whenever the next game is against Villa. It's going to be his last game against Anfield. That's really sad. But this guy stepping into his shoes, and he's looking like, you know, I was so worried for so many years, you know, since about 2018, that we're not going to be able to find any kind of replacement for Bobby Firmino. But we've got one, Nigel.
Yes, we do. A different player, but an effective player in that role. He can play three or four different roles. He can play wide. He can play down the middle. But now we can see he can drop back into the hole and bring players into the game as well. An intelligent player. Just go back to Curtis Jones' second goal for a minute. We've been talking all season about the way we've been playing. And suddenly, when the confidence comes back, we're putting the ball in front of our players again. Curtis Jones got that ball, his first touch, on the half turn, set it up for the shot, set it up for the early shot. And like, when he's confident, anybody had seen him playing for the under-18s and under-23s. Knew what he was capable of for the last few years before, and that was the big frustration for a lot of people. They've been watching him play for the 23s and the 18s, and he was scoring these absolutely wonderful goals. He scored that brilliant goal in the cup against Everton that time, and there was kind of a lack of this kind of thing. But if we play like that and we get Curtis Jones playing like that, ball in front of him on the half turn, he's going to be a dangerous player to watch over the next few years. Back to Cody Gakpo again, a vital cog in the way we're playing at the moment. And ongoing, so sad to see Bobby going. Been absolutely legendary for us since his arrival. I got that. I sent you a picture of that magazine this morning that I got. It's a Bobby tribute special from an official through the club magazine. So just, he was one of my favourite players. I'm not just saying in the current team, one of my favourite players ever. Absolutely love Bobby. That 20-minute rendition of his song last night, and his smile and his reaction at the end. I tell you one thing, Saturday is going to be emotional, whether he gets on or not. Him and James Milner and a couple of others that are going as well should be given big send-offs. It's always tough last game of the season. I remember Genie and Dave getting big send-offs last day in the last season. Well, this is going to be, the send-off of all send-offs. I remember Sammy Hoopie getting a huge send-off, Steven Gerrard getting a huge send-off. This is going to be up there with them, no doubt.
I mean, the crowd, they're just going to sing it for 90 minutes, aren't they? Forget the result, forget what's happening on the pitch. It's Bobby's Day, International Bobby Day. Yeah, totally right. Cody Gakpo in the Premier League then, 6 goals and 2 assists in 19 matches. It's a goal every 3 games, basically. But it's his danger and his way that he's knitting things, and also the pressing. Very impressive yesterday. Very, very, very impressive. But let's move on to the third goal. Ryan, the third goal, Trent. I had, little baby Ruben having a nap. It took all of my self-control that I could possibly muster, the greatest self-control, to not scream like Doc Cotton when she found her son overdosed on heroin. It was, you know, it was a great goal. And I've watched there's a GIF on Twitter of someone just from the perfect angle from behind his foot, you know, curling into the top corner. I've seen that GIF about 1,000 times. Have you watched it back many times already, Brian?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And then the little was it Mo who sent the ball rolling?
The little back heel, yes.
Just a perfect pace. And it was like a Alan Partridge moment. Back of the net. It was an absolute screamer. and I was just thinking, I was talking to my buddy today about this. It's like, we need a chant. That lad needs a proper song. I mean, I know he's a scouser in the team, or my mate sang me that song. I said, that's not good enough, though, is it? Trent really needs a song, you know? What he does for us, game in, game out, and now he's moved into the middle of the pitch and he's just, you know, people are going, well, maybe Jude Bellingham's not so good after all, you know? That's just right up there, isn't it? You know, anywhere around there is a very high percentage he's putting in the back of the net, and it was absolutely beautiful. Yeah, and I'm really happy for him. There's so many good things, so many good stories now starting to come out of the team and this season, because for a while there we were all a little bit lost and thinking, Jesus, what's the point? Where's the focus? What can we? It's so difficult to pull anything good out of this. But now it's like there's a real resurgence. That whole Trent story as well. It's just that's my favorite. I'll look back on this season, I'll just think of Trent. Trent went into the middle of the pitch and told everybody to go fuck themselves, basically, and became the best midfield player in the Premiership in an instant. The second he went into the middle of the pitch, he was like, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one. And he's just like, shut the fuck up, all of you. So, and he could only go from strength to strength. I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. And when he scored the goal, it was just the cherry on the cake. It really was. And the fact that Mo was involved in it as well, little hand up, little send up, and the way he celebrated as well, it was like, what else did you expect? You know, it's like, it's just brilliant. You know, the feel good factor is back with Liverpool now. You know,
But what would you say, Brian? Just staying with you though, because there was a very interesting piece on Empire of the Cop, which is a great website. The editorial said something that I said myself over the past few weeks, that we still need a right back to be in behind Trent, to give him even more freedom. I think the guy from Empire of the Cop, the editor there, fantastic line, he said, well, Pirlo never had to cover at right back. And we should, so you know, we should try to get the best out of Trent. We should just leave him in midfield so he doesn't have to do the running back. What do you reckon, Brian?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's been a weakness in our squad for the longest time. I don't know if everybody's been saying it, but I've always thought, you know, I love Trent to pieces. He's brilliant. And the problem with Trent is not many players in the world can do what he does. And so if he gets injured, God forbid, or, you know, goes through a bad run of form, you're kind of, you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Whereas, you know, we've got you know, more ample cover on the left. I've always felt like we've always been a bit short on the right, even though, you know, Joe can go and do a good job there. It's not quite the same. I definitely think I agree with you. I think, I mean, it's early days in this whole experiment with him moving into the pitch, and it's a real hybrid system, right? The fact that he's playing. But what I like about him now is that it's been made official that he's in the middle of the pitch, because before that, he was just showing up all over the park. You'd be like, what the fuck is, what's Trent doing on the left wing? What the fuck's going on? Like, we're like to say, well, has Klopp just said, you just do what you want. Go wherever you want to go, whatever. But now that I think that's another part of it as well. I think a lot of fans feel a lot better now, because we have a better sense of what the plan is with Trent. We know that he's playing two positions. We know that he's been given kind of a free role to an extent. So when we see him in different unusual places, that panic is not setting in. And it's not like we're not thinking, what's the team doing? Now we think, oh, we're playing this really sophisticated new system. But yeah, I think I mean, whatever happened to the lad we signed from Scotland?
Oh yeah, he was injured. Yeah, long term injury. Kelvin Ramsey. You would know that, wouldn't you? What did Kelvin
in high regard, right?
Yes, they do. But I think, was it a leg break, Doug? Do you remember? I can't remember.
Knee injury, I think. I think it was a knee injury.
A knee injury. Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. But Doug, say, you know.
That player initially, wasn't
he? Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean.
He was the backup, the genuine backup. He was like the new Andy Robinson, people were saying. You know, he's that good. He has the potential to be that good. You know, so.
Yeah. But he was there as a backup, as opposed to having a starting right back who's always there to give Trent more of a license. What do you reckon, Doug? What do you reckon on this?
Yeah, I think it's quite apt that we're obviously speaking about Calvin Ramsey, because I think he's a player who I think will probably come good at some point. But no, Trent is getting the license to roam around in that midfield role, and he's loving it. He's dictating the play. He's been very, very good. I want to go to discuss about Alisson Becker, if I may.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought he was absolutely flawless last night. I know he had one save to make, but it was almost Alisson, Ramses, Becker, Neuer, sweeper, keeper, all this. I thought Alisson was absolutely outstanding yesterday. And you know what? He's got 101 clean sheets now, which is absolutely amazing. He is going to go down as probably one of our greatest ever goalkeepers. He has been that good. And obviously, it's very apt that I have to speak about Alisson. It's 2 years to the day that he did score to save our top four hopes in that 2020-21 season. Yes. So
it's my biggest regret, Doug. It's my biggest football Liverpool regret, because I had given up. It was that deep into injury time, and I really needed the toilet from about 70 minutes onwards. And it got to injury time, and I was like, no, forget it. I give up. We've lost it. Everything is broken. I went into the toilet, a broken man. I came out, and I saw the screen. I had no sound, you see, because I was listening with headphones. They were celebrating, and they seemed to be celebrating with the goalkeeper. Man, what a moment. I mean, I wish I'd seen it. But, you know, and it serves me right for giving up on this Liverpool team, because it's a ridiculous thing to give up on. But
obviously to our audio listeners, if you haven't seen Alisson Becker's interview with Sky Sports after that, please go and watch it. It's one of the best interviews you'll ever see.
Beautiful, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. Yeah, Alisson Becker, great shout. But yeah, so I mean, that was the third goal, though, screaming into the top corner. Nigel, it was brilliant. It was a good performance. So we're moving on. You know, we've got two games left. Aston Villa, of course. Aston Villa, I got the latest results somewhere. I've lost it, but in front of me. It's on too many tabs open, you know, more tabs than, did they call tabs cigarettes? More tabs than, I don't know, my granny. And I've got them all open, but I can't remember which one it is. But I remember anyway, Aston Villa at home, they've won their last five matches. Away from home, they won two, drawn one, and lost two of the last five. So in the last three away matches, they've drawn one and lost two. There was an echo or something. Sorry. So Aston Villa, their resurgence under Unai Emery is fabulous. They beat Tottenham in the last match 2-1, and it could be very difficult, but we're at Anfield. Their away form isn't as good as their home form. Are you confident, Nigel, that we can keep the pressure on, keep the pressure up?
Absolutely. Yeah, who wants to come to Anfield? It's that old story again. I was talking to my manager there. I'm in work, in case anybody. And he said to me this morning, the last game Aston Villa played, they were playing a really, really high line, like up on the halfway line. And he said, we'd score four or five against Villa. He's a United fan. And he said to me earlier on, he'll score four or five if they try and play that high line. Mo Salah will have a field day, he said. So hopefully they come up and try and play a high line against our strikers at the moment.
I don't think Emery would, though. He seems too pragmatic.
Yeah, well, I didn't see their last game, so that's just what I was told. But Like, you've got to be looking at getting behind their fullbacks again and getting, like, Gakpo dropping into the hole again and Curtis Jones pushing in behind him and coming around on a loop again in behind to try and get on. I think, like, I don't think it's a coincidence that he scored those two goals recently, very similar goals, the one against Spurs and the one last night, that he's been told, if anyone heard the interview with Jürgen last night, he was nearly taking credit for the first goal. He said that he's been telling Curtis to get into the box. So I think this is a plan that Mo was going to try and play the ball into the space and around maybe a fullback and both centre-backs and curling away from the goalkeeper on the edge of the six-yard box to let Curtis come in around the back and attack the ball on the volley, because he's done it twice now. And I think we could be seeing it again fairly soon. And if it doesn't work, then, like, somebody else coming into it from another position, say, like, Gakpo maybe attacking the front of the six-yard box if Curtis wants to cut it back or doesn't get a shot or it gets deflected or something like that. So I think that's one to watch, definitely. I think that's it's no coincidence that ball has been played into that space at all.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's great. And I can't remember. I'll have a look at the Aston Villa lineup in a minute. But a couple of facts, pre-match facts for you. Brian, Liverpool have won 9 of their last 10 Premier League games against Aston Villa, the one exception being the 7-2. So there you go. Of course, the 7-2 we all remember. There'll be elements of the other 9 victories out of 10 that we don't remember because we just seem to beat them, fairly regularly and routinely. Having... Another factoid number two, these are from Google. Having won 3 and lost just 1 of their 6 Premier League visits to Anfield between 2009 and 2015, Aston Villa have now lost their last 4 away league games against Liverpool. So it's looking good. Aston Villa, have you seen anything of them? Do you think that they're dangerous? Is there something that, you know, I don't know how you're feeling about it, Brett?
I tell you, I seen them play against Newcastle and it was one of the most impressive performances of the whole season. I thought myself, I watched that game and they were amazing. They reminded me of Klopp's, they reminded me of Rafa Benitez's team came to Liverpool. And do you remember who was he managing before he came?
Valencia, they've played straight. Pablo Oliva.
Yeah, it reminded me of that performance. They were so direct and they were just all over Newcastle. Newcastle were like riding on a crest of a wave at the time. This is about a month ago. And I remember thinking to myself, Jesus, Unai Emery, some manager actually. You know, he's getting a tune out of this lot. And it's kind of tapered off a little bit recently, but they have it in them. They're very direct. They shift the ball quickly. So I mean, I expect us to win our last 2 games, but this one in particular, I wouldn't get ahead of ourselves because they could hurt us pretty quickly, particularly with us. We talk about them playing a high line, but we also play a high line, you know. So it'll be interesting. But I like what he's doing with them. I'm talking about stats. I heard a great stats today, something like that. Mo Salah has got more yellow cards for taking off his shirt than United have scored goals at Anfield in the past 10 years. Yeah, this one. Something along those lines. Yeah. But it'll be a great game. I expect us to win it. But they're a dangerous side, you know, and there's a lot of quality in there, and he's got them playing really, really well. So I think we're gonna have to be right at it from the get-go and you know, not take our eye off. And it's not a banker by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, absolutely. I was gonna say to you, unlike you guys in terms of, it's 10% or 15% of top 4, I'm completely different. I think it's much higher because we're breathing down both Newcastle and Man United's neck. They've got 3 games to play. And in any of those next 2 games for both of them, if either one of those teams drop points in any way, shape or form, it's not really about who they're playing. It's about the pressure. You know, it's about this incessant pressure that they're under. You know, they're not easy games. You know, that they're playing. They're not necessarily bankers. United are not good on the road. They're going to Bournemouth. Brighton can turn anybody over on their day. Chelsea, who knows what Chelsea team is coming to show up, particularly with Poch now penciled in. A lot of those players will be like, well, I fancy that, you know? I think there's something for us to watch the next 2 weekends, you know, to pay close attention. As long as we just do our job, keep the pressure on, because nobody's expecting us to get top four. We're under no pressure. We've qualified for European football. You know, it was a difficult season. We'll take that. The pressure's all on them, and Newcastle are not used to that. Those players are not used to this. They're not used to this kind of level of pressure where it, you know, it's fine margins. And I still don't believe in this Man United side. You know, there's still a lot of mistakes there, and they've been a little bit leggy over the past two or three games. A lot of commentators have commented on it as well. So if you look at the amount of goals they scored, they've got the lowest goal scoring ratio of the top four teams I've seen in a long, long time. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit higher. We'll see this weekend, but I'm quietly optimistic.
You're talking me into it. You're talking me into this optimism, bro. The percentage is rising. Excellent stuff. Doug, you watch a lot of football. You must have seen Aston Villa quite a few times this season. I don't know if you saw their last match. In their last match, they lined up with Eni Martinez in goal, with Ashley Young, Konsa, Mings and Moreno as a back four. Then with Leon Bailey, John McGinn, Douglas Luiz, and Ramsey in midfield, and then Buendia and Watkins up front. Douglas Luiz scored, and Jacob Ramsey scored for them in their 2-1 victory over Tottenham Hotspur. They're a dangerous team. The 4-4-2 is actually a bit of a bugbear of Jurgen Klopp teams over the years, although that's in our old formation. In this new formation, who knows? They are dangerous, Doug. We are going to have to be wary, even if we've won every single one of our final Anfield games of the season under Jurgen Klopp. We've won the last six of the final home games of the season. So the omens are good, but we do have to be wary. Who out of Aston Villa has caught your eye this season?
I've watched Villa quite a lot this season, actually. I did a watch along of them beating Newcastle 3-0, and I thought they were excellent. I thought Watkins especially, he's a player that's gone under the radar for me, Ollie Watkins. You know, I think that a lot of people are obviously looking at obviously Harry Kane and Ivan Toney, but then you look at like strikers who have like got goals in the Premier League, and I think Ollie Watkins is one of those players. I've got to say as well, I think Martinez is a very good goalkeeper. As well, I don't see him staying around very, very longer. Moreno, the left back, is a very interesting one. He was excellent in that Newcastle game, and I thought, yeah, Aston Villa have got a very, very good, you know, left back on the trail there. Ramsey as well scored in that game, as well. Villa are a very, very good side. Unai Emery has done a magnificent job. They were 17th when he took over. They're now sitting sixth place, which is amazing for a team like Aston Villa. And they deserve to win against Tottenham on Saturday there. So it's going to be a very, very tricky game, but I would fancy us against anybody at this moment in time. I really would.
Excellent answer. Yeah, I would as well. I mean, you mentioned Alex Moreno. He's the only one who Unai Emery's bought. And so he's turned this team from 17th with basically one signing. And the rest is all organisation and tactics. And, you know, I've been, saying this for years, because, you know, I've followed Unai Emery very closely from when he was at PSG, and he's a brilliant manager. Even when he was at Arsenal, I was telling everybody, you know, he's just been unlucky, or, you know, made a few bad choices in the transfer market, but he needs more time. And they were all, you know, Arsenal completely lost faith in him, and the fans did, which was a bit stupid on their part, because he's a brilliant manager. Nigel, of that lineup, the one that stands out to me as the one we can get at really is Ashley Young at right back at 45 years old, or however old he is. So what, you know, is that the glaring weakness to you too, Nigel?
Absolutely. Get Diaz on the ball and get Gakpo coming behind him, and Curtis Jones running off them, and he has got to be. We've got to be looking for down that channel. Robbo, even last night, was attacking into the spaces and creating things. And you got Curtis running along the outside behind Robbo last night, and Robbo giving the ball into the gaps. And that's definitely, you watch, I've said it before on here, you watch our games down the years, when we go at fullbacks, down that channel, between the fullbacks or outside them, that's where we're at our most dangerous. And he's got, and you know, he's definitely there for the taking. I think, you know, he's old, basically. You know, he's get Diaz running at him and he could be on the yellow card in 5 minutes.
It's a good point. It's a very good point. I'm not sure I would play Diaz, though. Brian, Diaz or Jota in that position to attack Ashley Young? What do you think, Brian?
I don't know. I think I'd go with Diaz as well. Yeah. Okay. And I can see Trent firing the balls over, you know, from the right-hand side. I think we'll probably overload them on the right, you know, just give them and then just quickly switch over. But yeah, obviously. I mean, it's a very solid team. I think McGinn as well, he's a great player, you know, really solid. Kind of get mark him, take him out of the game. He's very influential for that team. So yeah. I didn't realize actually Young was still getting into the team regularly. So that's something to look forward to, you know, seeing him getting turned inside out, particularly with Diaz. That'd be brilliant. Putting him on the floor, put him on his arse a couple of times, you know, an extra little bit of love there, you know. Can you imagine that at home? Ashley Young on his arse over and over again. It'd be great.
Nigel, you wanted to come in here. Yeah, it would be great.
Just a good point. If we're going running at them, I'd like to see possibly, not quite the ball that we set up for the goal last night, pull the ball back to the edge of the box between the two centre-backs and let somebody, say a Jordan Henderson or a Fabinho or even a Curtis Jones, come running onto the ball and have a strike from the edge of the box or outside the box. I think that could be an avenue to a goal as well. So just I think...
City did that quite effectively a couple of games ago, didn't they?
Coming across.
Absolutely. I think that's one benefit of potentially, you know, getting more right back cover behind Trent is that he can, you know, his long shots, I mean, they're just superb. It's a cannonball, you know, waiting to happen. In the chat, we've got great comments coming in as usual. Thank you so much. Pan of Scouse says, given the chance, I think, he was talking about Jacob Ramsey. He's good on the ball and pretty solid. The kid needs a chance. I hope that he might be talking about Kelvin Ramsey as opposed to Jacob Ramsey. Excuse me. I messed that one up. But okay. So either Ramsey's, they're both very good. Jacob Ramsey as well. An underrated player for Aston Villa. He scores very highly on progressive carries and touches in the attacking penalty box and getting into good areas. He's in the 84th percentile for non-penalty goals, having scored 5 goals this season from midfield with 5 assists. Very good, Jacob Ramsey. And he's only 21 years old. He's going to be 22 in about 12 days or something like that. So happy birthday to him. I don't know, we've got to wrap this up because you know, things are oh God, I've got responsibilities these days. So I'm going to stop sharing the screen to have my fellows back around me, although you can't see that on YouTube, but I can see them in front of me, all smiling, all happy. It's been 7 wins in a row, 3 clean sheets in a row. Konate, Virgil, all of that stuff. My final question to all of you is, how far away are we really? Because I'm not sure this has been 100% convincing. Sorry to be a Desmond Downer or a Debbie Downer. I don't think it's been entirely convincing up against, you know, the elite teams. I question to you is, I'm going to start with Doug. How far away are we from Manchester City's level?
I think we are a wee bit behind them. I don't think we're that far off. Maybe a couple of signings here or there or two. And I think we'll be right back up there because I think Arsenal have had their chance this season and they blew it.
Interesting. Just a couple of signings. What, midfield?
I would say midfield, definitely. Maybe a right back, maybe another centre back, but I think
that's 4 signings, Doug. That's 4 already. 2 midfielders, right back, and a centre back.
I know. It is. I would say anything between 2 or 3 midfielders would do me good.
2 or 3 midfielders, a right back, and a centre back. I agree with you, Nigel. What about you? How far away are we?
About 6 signings.
6 signings. Okay. Yeah. Who?
Like, what kind of... Mm-hmm. 3 midfielders, at least, maybe 4, right back, possibly a left back, and possibly a centre half.
Okay.
I think this is a squad game. It's a long game. And if we're going to be hoping to compete at all levels, there needs to be a squad. We need to have, like a few seasons ago, when we had the cover in every position, we need cover for Fabinho. We need cover for Trent at right back. We need cover for Trent in midfield. We need cover for, say, Gakpo playing in that position as well. You've got to remember, like, we're losing Milner. We're losing Bobby. We're losing Oxlade-Chamberlain. We're losing Keita. You know, we're losing a lot of players. We're losing a lot of bodies. Some of them might be made of Weetabix, but we've got to replace. Like, there's no point in selling 8 or 9 players and signing 2. It's just that it has to be rotated. Bob Paisley said it every year. Buy 2 or 3 players. Well, we haven't really done that. You know what I mean? People are going and people are getting injured. And we're still suffering from 3 seasons ago when we barely qualified for the Champions League with a great run. We're doing it again. But we've got to have a squad. We're threadbare again.
I totally agree. I mean, you know, all this bounce about 7 wins in a row is very good, and it is very enthusiastic, and we're right to be happy about it. But, you know, we can look back earlier in this season, even post World Cup, since January, you know, losing to Brentford and then Brighton in successive games, lost 3-1 against Brentford, 3-0 against Brighton. We followed that up with a 0-0 draw at Anfield against the worst Chelsea side since the, I don't know, 80s. And then, you know, Wolverhampton Wanderers beat us 3-0 as well. So those 4 games from the 2nd of January to the 4th of February, absolute nightmare. We've got to learn from those kind of things, Brian, before we can really say we're back challenging, you know, with the best, with Manchester City, you know, those cheats. What is that fair, Brian?
Yes and no. I mean, I take your points. I understand what you're saying, but I think also we were a team in transition, or, you know, we're in transition anyway. We're moving, this new team is more settled, more mature, than this new identity is taking shape. Like, people forget that we kind of move, you know, all those people that we just mentioned, they're all great players, but, and we do need to replace them for sure. I mean, I don't think we're that far off, but I do think we need quality. We need an influx of who's the new James Milner, you know, who's the new Bobby, you know. We need players. We don't need fillers. You know, we need people who can push players in positions. And it is a squad game. I think that's, again, we were taught that lesson when we chased everything last season. We paid for it this season, you know. So I like what Klopp's been saying about the progression of this team, where we're at. We're starting to see the fruition of that. It's starting to kind of form in my head. But I think also for just the feel good factor amongst the fan base as well, the club needs to do some business this summer, you know, for that, you know, they need to sign 4 players. And I say players, I mean players that will alleviate the bad blood that's there with the fans. Even, like, I'm a very pragmatic person when it comes to football and FSG, you know, but even I can sense there is kind of a growing unease about this. If we do another summer where we're not active, or it's just about enough, I think that'll just push a lot of people over the edge. And once Liverpool Twitter gets into full effect, you know, I mean FSG haven't really felt what Liverpool Twitter is like when it's really, when the, you know, the Eye of Sauron is shining brightly on you, you know. So if they know what's good for them, I think they will sign at least 3 legit starting, you know, players who can go straight into the team. But I'm looking forward to the business. I don't think we're that far off. And I think next season we will see, you know, we forget how many new players are in this team. You know, if you just look at the lineup and think, how long has that player been with us? They've all been with us like 1, maybe 2 seasons. Mm. You know, the new stalwarts. But we're the only team that can challenge City, really, at this stage, still, with the only manager. We had a dip. We've been through it, and now, you know, the dip's over. So onwards and upwards.
Love it.
And Alisson's got his beard back. That's why we're getting all these beautiful clean sheets. You know, people, you're sleeping on the fact that he's a very beautiful man as well. That hasn't even been mentioned, you know. Player of the season, comes to training on a horse, Nothing he can't do. Yeah. I am genuinely looking forward to the summer and the signings, and there's definitely a feel good factor amongst the club again.
Yeah, no, totally. It's absolutely marvelous answer. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for sharing your thoughts. And everybody, check out Doug's channel, the Dugout Football channel. Absolutely superb. Thank you to Nigel. Thank you to Brian. And thank you to Doug. Just going to leave you. I started with a poem, the first verse of the poem, In the Beginning by Dylan Thomas. And I'm going to give you the last verse, and it's up to you to look up that poem and read it all, because it's absolutely freaking brilliant. But here is the last verse to play us out. In the beginning was the secret brain. The brain was celled and soldered in the thought before the pitch was forking to a sun, before the veins were shaking in their sieve, bloodshot and scattered to the winds of light, the ribbed original of love. Thank you, everybody. You'll never walk alone.